there, if it's subjectivity, we may require something, then we're done. We can't, we're going to have difficulty just exactly where we were before, where it's subjective and therefore they don't have to.
Yeah.
And that's why we were trying so hard to give layers of hard criteria to go by. So we were getting rid of the subjectivity, because as soon as there is subjectivity, it's
then they
it would be exploited.
We don't have to do it yet. We are here for zoning approval. We'll do that during land development. That's what you're going to hear.
Well, that's what you heard the last time. Yeah.
And you're going to continue to hear it, even with this.
Is there a way that we can say in order to have conditional use hearing, we must have A, B, C?
You could. If it conflicts with case law, they're going to say, no, we're not giving it to you, and they're going to rely on the case law.
So then it's a matter of whether the supervisors are going to hold their feet down, or if the attorneys are going to negotiate that on the spot.
I mean, if we have an ordinance that requires a groundwater study for risk assessment, then it's got to be some type of a study that a qualified person can look at and determine what the person studied and say, well, wait a minute, this is not really a groundwater study. So I think the words groundwater have to be used in this, because otherwise if they're gonna get a hold of any expert and say, oh, this use that is being provided for is not gonna have any effect at all on your source of water or your quantity of water or contamination of water. That's a one paragraph letter. So if they don't have a study, the one paragraph letter doesn't work. You reject it and say, where's my study? Where's the facts and figures? What's the dilution rate? What type of contaminants are going to be stored, and are they contaminants that will find their way in? So,
is the risk assessment language that you're talking about, John, is that a standard document recognized in the field by engineers, or do we have to define what constitutes?
Yeah, so the difficulty here is there really is no like standard for hydrology studies. You know, so there's not something I can give you chapter and verse from a certain regulation that tells you how to conduct such studies. So it goes based upon experience, and then you know what I'll call some industry standard about how we approach such studies. But there is no like regulation that we say you follow this.
Right. And I mean, you can have, and John, you can actually have a situation where someone comes in and says, yes, there is a risk, but we're going to use containment so that there's no risk. And that's...
So you're mitigating...
Right, you're mitigating that.
There's all kinds of mitigation measure. But mm-hmm. but if they're going to go the route of having a qualified professional, again, I'll use that term, because it doesn't need to be a PE, someone to do that, that these are the mitigating factors.
Most of them are,
but it does cause them to make the necessary steps. So I'll go back to the auto place. I mean, they have certain guidelines for containment, right? And mm-hmm. so they're going to do those things regardless. And those are the type of people you don't want to penalize to do extensive groundwater studies. It's more about, that's why I keep coming back to the term threshold, about the size of the project, right? Mm-hmm. If we're going to do, a massive project with a 500,000 square foot warehouse, well then those are the types of projects we absolutely want to require to have those studies done up front. And
it shouldn't matter what zone that's in.
I agree.
Well, here you're not going to do the massive project like that in any zone but the DD, because it's just not going to be allowed.
Well, but I'm talking about with the water.
With the 426 versus right. not 426.
What about
right.
What about the situation where someone wants to do a small warehouse, like 20,000 square feet?
Well, I'm not as concerned about that as I am about what about where they want to do a small food production facility where they're drawing 1 million gallons of water.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, those are difficult too, though. I mean, because, you know, you got sewage issues on the back end of such
Correct.
A development. So that they, you know, even if they're 20,000 square feet, if they're drawing that much water, then they got sewage issues. So the scope of the project is much larger than 20,000 square feet, you know, as far as the area of development, because they can't get rid of that water. I mean, nobody absorbs all that water and then holds it, right? It ends up having to be discharged.
Well, we have a new potential or a long-term potential to have area here in our DD zone that has sewage available to it. So you're still drawing the water.
Yeah.
And so we should prepare for both, but we need to have some kind of trigger mechanisms that say, yes, you qualify, no, you don't qualify.
But if they're going to be close enough for the sewage, they're also probably going to be on the water authority, too.
Right.
Even so, you know, there's limited capacity.
And they have that right in their regulations.
They'll have to get will serve letters and things of that nature in order to even demonstrate
yep.
that the project's even viable. I mean, it's not uncommon in these types of ordinances to list out certain criteria, numbers, thresholds that say if you fall in this, you know, you have to go to an advanced study, you know.
Right. I know as not planning professionals, we're all getting draft fatigue looking at these details, but the 50 pages of Dingman Township's stormwater management ordinance is, you know, because they're trying to come up with all those criteria.
Scenarios, yeah.
And various different mechanisms.
Absolutely.
And put hard
yeah.
and...
That's why it's so long.
Right.
That's scary.
She's, you know, for lay people, you know, this is where having professionals write it and take the time and, you know.
I think we got the two best. I mean, he's going to be looking at it from the engineering point of view, what's feasible, what's not feasible. Tony's going to be looking
at
it from
the
legal end, what's legal, what's not legal.
We should look to John to give us some criteria that he feels comfortable with, because
yeah,
he's actually, you know, a township engineer is the one that's going to be reviewing these assessments anyway.
I think this needs to, I agree with Rachel, I think this needs to apply to the township as a whole.
Mm-hmm. It's every application, right?
But are we doing? Are we helping ourselves with a conditional use application by doing this? I mean,
it's every application for non-residential has to meet these standards. That's the way it's worded now in the ordinance.
Right, but is this applied prior to the conditional use hearing? Are these standards applied?
Kevin, I would say that it's not uncommon in a project that's going to be located near a water supply to require at least some type of study to make sure that it's not going to either deplete or contaminate the water supply at the conditional use phase.
I mean,
because,
I've worked in multiple states, and
right.
any time that's you're in a water supply watershed,
mm-hmm.
these types of studies are required regardless.
Right. Yeah. So it's not uncommon to do that.
But you would be.
And are there exemptions for small projects that
you
don't?
You'd have exemptions for like single family residential, you know, things, you know, small commercial developments. Yeah, there are exemptions. Yeah, absolutely. And that's why I think the criteria of what the exemptions are is what we should
be focused on.
We should be
okay.
focused on, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I think that's what John and can look at it and come back to us.
Yeah.
Sounds good.
Thanks, John. Thanks for your help.
All right.
Appreciate
it. I'll do that. I mean, I'll put together I'll look at some other references and put together some language that can support what we already have.
But I know Kevin has another question, and I think let me answer his question directly.
Yeah.
There will be an argument as to whether a groundwater study would be necessary if you are one in 3/4 or 2 miles away from the water source. You might be near the aquifer, but I could see someone coming in and arguing, oh, wait a minute, there's all these other buildings built on top of this aquifer. Why do I have to do a groundwater study? So you are going to hear that eventually.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I mean, what is the threshold where it's really not a danger? You know,
I think we set the threshold with our delineation of the overlay zone.
Yeah.
Well, you know, because you're missing that aspect of the fact that there's a whole lot of buildings on top of the aquifer right now that got there without damaging anything. And we should not be presuming that just because you build something, it's going to damage the water. I think that's where we get, you know, the question is, where does it become questionable? How do we write the criteria in to make sure that we're drawing a distinction? But I don't think we should take a presumption that building something is automatically going to damage water supply.
And I don't think
even a hydrology study like that the warehouse brought in, that was a technically a legit study, but it was done out of existing testing that had been done. Wasn't pinpointed to that one property. It was the whole area and in the overall. But it was a hydrology study. So by requesting that, we're just saying a hydrology study. We're not defining.
Well, let me do a little bit of work on that and see if I can come up with better language as to what a hydrology study would encompass. Like I said, there are certain codes and regulations that are very distinct with regards to assessing groundwater. There isn't such a regulation, but there might be some criteria that I can pull in and we can say, you know, meeting, you know, such and such a standard.
Engineering best practices.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
All right.
Let me do a little bit of work on finding language for that, because I think a lot of times in the words in here, they're a little convoluted, you know, like what exactly are we asking for, right? I mean, I think we need to be specific what we're asking for.
What we're asking for is the ability to make a good decision on a conditional use.
Correct.
You know, enough information to make a good decision.
Like even the term, which is most prominent here at the end of 4.11, is a hydrogeologic studies.
Right.
Like, and it just that's all it says. I don't think that's very general, and it's not very specific as to what is being asked of them. And so I think we should have some language that's specific, you know, like what are we due to what we're trying to protect, which is...
The hydrogeologic study will determine A, B, and C.
Correct.
Sometimes you're going to have these, like, I know in other ordinances there are, and DEP to some extent will require this in a large construction, they're going to want you to do a test well, and they're going to want to see how much you can pump in a 24, 48, 72 hour period without depleting the water supply. And I've actually witnessed some of these studies, and they're phenomenal. I mean, you would not believe the amount of gallons that are pumped out in a 24 hour period.
But that doesn't come into play until you're doing land development.
Land development.
You're going to do that for like large subdivisions and things like that. You have to do test wells. That's not uncommon. But I think, you know, but monitoring wells or water quality testing is usually an after the fact thing.
Yeah.
It's really what are we trying to get them to assess coming in?
Yeah.
That's really what we need to focus on.
And it seems like everybody wants to do the conditional use first, and then the land development. Is there?
Because you.
I know, and I understand. I understand. They want to know that they can get the conditional use before they even go any further with the land development.
From a development standpoint, why waste the money on doing these?
Is there a way of saying like a preliminary type plan, something to show for the conditional use? And if they're in 426,
you don't have any pre-planning.
I don't know if that's on my page.
You don't have any pre-planning meetings or things like that in your SALDO or in your zoning ordinance. I mean, you might want to consider if you have a large developer coming to town that you might actually want to have pre-planning meetings with him before he comes in and does an application.
And I think that's kind of what they're doing by coming in...
Informal.
Informal.
Right, that's what they're trying to do.
They're trying to do that.
Well, their purpose is to pin us down.
Right.
Their purpose is really not to have a meeting to...
Not that, what they're doing is exactly what you would be doing in a pre-meeting.
Not all developers are like that.
Huh?
Not all developers are like that.
No.
I'm telling you, I know developers that are not like that.
Yeah, I wasn't like that when I had the pre-meetings.
Hey, just as an aside, I mean, like some of the numbers and stuff that are part of the original ordinance, I mean, I don't know if anybody's looked at them. Like, I haven't really looked at them to see how applicable they really are. I mean, like, one something that caught my attention is, like, BOCA standards are outdated.
Yeah.
Like, they don't even exist anymore.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's just a simple language thing. Like, BOCA doesn't exist anymore. You know, we have, you know, all different building code, a whole new building code process.
Yeah.
So, you know, but like some of the numbers, I'm happy to look at the numbers just to make sure that they're, if we're going to update this, confirm that.
Thank you.
The noise and lighting requirements.
Well, noise and lighting requirements, yeah, that's definitely. But the quite frankly, with anybody that lives or works or does business along the 84 corridor is already fighting way over the decibels that are required under the ordinance.
Yeah.
But there's an exemption in there for public traffic.
Yeah, so, I mean,
because we have no legal authority to regulate it.
We have no authority to regulate the noise on the highway, but certainly shouldn't we be taking into consideration the people that are developing right next to the interchange to the impact of the noise?
To put up, to have them put sound walls on?
It's relentless.
The problem we always ran into with noise was the state of Pennsylvania has rules for noise ordinances, and it's you have to take readings every 15 minutes over a 72-hour period.
To enforce it.
And I understand that, and that's the whole point that I'm getting at, is if you came to the edge of my property, a couple of my properties on 80, and Ray knows what I'm talking about, there's no way that you would measure the noise that I'm creating on the property.
Right.
Yeah.
You can't
measure the...
Because
the,
you can't
measure. There's times when if I'm standing near the edge of my property having a conversation, it's almost hard to have a conversation with the truck traffic.
Right.
Because it's 100 feet away.
Yep.
So that's very good.
Understood.
I can be working in the woods with a chainsaw, and Beth Ann can't hear me working with a chainsaw because of the interstate.
Yep, absolutely.
You know, so you can't measure. So some of these standards don't make sense. And the lighting, just a matter of the spillover. The spillover is just what you have to concern.
Even smoke is referencing the 1954 standard. If we're going to change it, we might as well update some things in here, because they don't apply anymore, really. There's more modern standards or codes that govern them.
I'll give you the rest of the zoning book, and you can look at that, too.
Well, I mean, we'll take it one step at a time.
That's it.
Well, I think that's where we were. We were trying to focus on the items that the special counsel had identified as areas we should address that were viewed as weaknesses when we were going through that large application.
I think the operative point here is, how do we get enough to make a good determination on a conditional use?
That's
the bottom line.
Without going into
forcing them to do
extensive studies.
And I don't think we want to delay too long to go, like, you know, the exercise of going through every section of the ordinance to see everything that's outdated at once. Now we're talking about setting us back a considerable length of time, and I don't think we wanted to wait quite that long. We've already been now almost 2 years.
Yeah, I would deal with just this. But it's just an observation.
For now.
Thank you, John.
For now.
Thank you, John.
For now, John.
I'll work on language for the criteria and how we exempt certain applications.
And when you have that, just send it over, and I'll send you over what I think is...
And then I'll also work on trying to define exactly what we're asking for when it comes to hydrology studies. I'll work on that very quickly.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, John.
Thank you.
And the next meeting, you were setting up a separate meeting?
We were talking about the meeting to deal with the warehouse standards.
Right.
That's really a planning issue at this point. But
right. But we want to join.
We were talking about Monday, May the 30th, and you can do that
June
in your
the
next...
30th.
Yeah, June the 30th.
June the 30th, I'm sorry. I'm still in April.
Because we had set a day aside just for that.
And do we have correspondence from our presumed applicant about the meeting next week? Or
I haven't received any.
We got nothing yet because
Mr. Belwar has...
It won't be back until the 22nd, so we got 2 more days.
Tomorrow.
Tomorrow.
No, so today's the 21st.
So then next week, are we expecting them next week?
I'll find out tomorrow.
They're
asking to come in, but I already told them.
I don't know, but unfortunately, I won't be able to attend your meeting, so. But Andy will take care of it.
But if Andy's not ready for it, I already told AutoZone. It may have to wait.
Well, we're more concerned about the change in the amendment to the ordinance.
And same with them. We just see where we're at with the... He's been away for 2 weeks.
Okay.
Okay, moving on. Treasurer's report.
Sure, thank you. After the last meeting, I received $57,932.64 in real estate taxes, $9,655.47 in ambulance taxes, $5,378.73 from real estate transfer tax, $750 from zoning, $434.43 from code inspections, and $25 from UGI.
Hey, I see you want some money transferred around.
Yes, please. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You want what, $5,000 from the Wayne Bank investment account for...
Is that Dwayne?
May 12th payroll, and another $5,000 for the May 27th payroll?
Yes, the AVA, it was done already for that payroll, so I want you to ratify it.
Right.
And for the B, I need another $5,000 for the next May 27th payroll.
Okay, at this time I'll make a motion that we approve the $5,000 transfer from the Wayne County Bank investment account for the payroll on May 12th, and also approval for a transfer of $5,000 from the Wayne investment account for payroll for May 27th.
Oh.
All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
I see you also want to transfer $10,000 from the Wayne Bank investment for bill payment for the June 2nd meeting. I'll make a motion we transfer $10,000 from the Wayne investment account to MBT checking account for bill payments for June 2nd meeting.
Thank you.
Now, we have a second.
Second.
All in favor, signify by saying aye.
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 So passed. I see we have $72,383.27 in the investment account. We just took $20,000 out for payments. So that leaves us $52,000 in there, which is drawing 0.10% interest. Can we transfer part of that into our budget account?
Sure.
Where it's drawing 4.17%. How much do you feel we should take out of it?
40,000.
We can take 40,000 out and still save. I'll make a motion that we transfer $40,000 out of the Wayne investment account into the Pledget account for better interest rate earnings.
I'll second it.
All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
So passed. Okay, Roadmaster's report. Believe it or not, DCNR showed up yesterday with their grader and actually graded the road going up into Lily Pond with a brand new grader. We tried to borrow to do our road, but they wouldn't let us. But they did a halfway decent job. So we're working on cutting some of the shoulders back there on the paved portion on the far end by the Lily Pond, just to make sure everything they dig is running down the sides of the road. Back on another section of that road back there on the dirt portion, we had a spring come up through the center of the road. So we spent a whole day last Friday hauling millings up there and kind of putting them on pretty thick to keep the road from
turning into mud.
So far it's worked pretty good, but all this rain has really tore that road up pretty bad. Plus the people fishing up there and turkey hunters and everything now, they drive like maniacs up there. So we got in pretty good condition. We just don't want to lose that road because we've got 9/10 of a mile of that is dirt road. And there's water running everywhere. Right. Coming out of the woods where I never saw water before. So that's basically what we've been keeping up. We did do a patch through the township again. Pretty well got caught up with them. So moving on to zoning.
Hey, well, we're on Roadmaster's report.
Yes.
We got the pickup truck fixed.
Yeah, we have it. It's back on the road. We've done some little things to it. Eventually, we got to buy a couple toolboxes for the side of it so we could pull tools back into it.
Well, thank you, Ray.
Ray did a good job onto it. Bodies. It's okay. It could have a few more screws and stuff in the planks and stuff. Ray put an additional support underneath it.
It will do the job.
But it will do the job. And thank you. Yeah, right now, every time we put something in, we got to strap it down with straps.
I saw it yesterday.
Shell strapped across it.
Hey, it's better to work out of that than a pickup body, though.
Yeah, so
once you get the toolboxes, it'll be good.
Yeah, get a couple toolboxes for it. Okay, moving on. Zoning.
I think the new zoning officer will bring his report at the next meeting, right?
No, okay. We did have a meeting with Sean and the new zoning officer. And Sean, I think, was under the impression that he can handle it. He's going to show him how to use our permit manager on the first one, and then he said he'll oversee him on some that he does on his own before turning them loose. But and then I talked to him about taking an online class to get his PA certifications. He had no problem with that.
Public participation.
Just a question on that Lily Pond Road. What exactly, I'm sorry, the work that was done on that, if I could, you did some restoration work on that, or?
We did not on Lily Pond. There is no Lily Pond Road, it's Shakopee Road.
Shakopee Road, I'm sorry. Shakopee. But what, the work that was done on that, I mean?
One portion of that road is ours, owned by Milford Township. Okay. The upper end of it going up to Lily Pond is owned by DCNR.
Okay.
I've been a month trying to get DCNR to come down here and grade it up because it was all full of holes. They showed up yesterday and graded the their portion of the road.
Okay. How long is the township portion of the road, like distance-wise?
2.5 miles,
okay.
Roughly.
And the DCNR portion is how long?
Less than a half a mile.
Okay. One other question. Santos Farm property, anything new on that situation?
Not lately.
Okay. Thank you.
Secretary's report.
So
Sure, thank you. From Pocono Mountains Visitors Bureau, a veteran sales manager has joined the Pocono team. The Bureau also encouraged the township to apply for available grants again. Brian Snyder sent the agenda and minutes for the road task force meeting. Those were forwarded to Harvey McKean. He announced a grid scale solar workshop to be held on June 3rd at the Wallen Papak Learning Center. This is a free PZETS class. He submitted comments regarding the zoning map. Penn State Extension will present a garden workshop about attracting birds, bees, and butterflies. The workshop will be held on Saturday, May 31st at 1 p.m. at the Penn State Extension office, 514 Broad Street, Milford. The cost to attend is $10 from National Park Service. Dingman Falls, including its access roads, visitor center, and trail system, is currently closed for summer 2025. Shannon DeVest from Pike County Commissioner's Office shared that in celebration of the 250th anniversary of the founding of the United States on July 4, 2026, Pike County is planning a parade in Milford Borough. Milford Township has been invited to participate. Pike County Commissioners notified that the cost of first-class postage stamp will increase from 73 cents to 78 cents. They also reported that Milford Township has been approved for a quarter one match in the amount of $15,000 for an ambulance. I also received an application to join the zoning hearing board. And that's all.
Hey, under old business, zoning hearing board position application.
She got the app, okay.
You got the app?
You got the letter, right, from?
It's not in the pile.
But you're talking about Vogelsberg?
Huh? Yeah, Vogelsberg.
Vogelsberg, yeah.
I read it online.
It's right here.
Oh, I saw it earlier.
In here.
Okay, I got it right here.
All right, Eric, I spoke to for quite a while. He was even interested in the,
thank you.
Gotta keep
the zoning position, but due to physical incapabilities, walking on uneven ground and stuff, we didn't feel it was a good job for him. But he was on the planning board for, I believe it was Goshen. And he showed interest in being on the zoning hearing board. And so he does have familiarization with the regulations and construction.
He was on the planning board in South Blooming Grove.
South Blooming Grove, that's it.
Did I see correctly that there was a Conservation District report having to do with the residence, this person's residence, that indicated that there was activity done there without a permit?
If there was, I didn't see that one.
Before the last meeting, there were 5 reports from Conservation District, but before this meeting, there were no new reports from Conservation District.
Right. What I'm asking is, was one of those reports pertaining to this person and this person's residence and indicating that they had done some work at their home that had not been permitted, that was recognized when the inspection was done? I don't always trust my memory. But
you're talking about Pike County Conservation?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, well, that would actually fall on the builder.
Yeah.
It was, right?
Yep. I have no problem with taking someone with experience who's demonstrated an interest and asking them to, you know, and having them participate, but while they have violations that are still being corrected, I don't think that's the appropriate time to add them to the ZHB. So that's my two cents, but...
I have to agree with you, Rachel.
All right, so I would make a motion to table this appointment to the ZHB.
I will second that motion. All in favor, signify by saying aye. Aye.
Aye.
Moving on to new business. Joint meeting with Planning Commission, we just did that.
Yep.
And what's this, the camera system? Bob?
Huh?
Camera.
It's very confusing when this is what he sends us.
No, I had him send us two estimates.
No, I don't say estimates. It says invoices.
No. It was supposed to be estimates.
It does say invoices, yeah.
It does say invoices.
It's a little confusing, you know.
Yeah, not our estimates, not invoices. Nothing was approved. We went to work on the camera system, and we were going to add the other two cameras, but we're having problems with the monitor, the camera.
Thank you, John.
Thanks, John.
Take care, John. The DVR, whatever it's called. We took it apart, and it's got two blown capacitors in it. And it was set up by our prior IT guy who put a password in that we can't even hack into it. And when I call him for the password, he doesn't know what it is.
Is that Joe?
Huh?
Is that Joe?
No.
Okay.
No, that was A1. That was A1.
Got to write it down.
And, so either way, the capacitors are blown, and it's not giving good picture. The camera in here was all messed up, and we can't straighten it out. So it does need a new, I think it's DVR. DVR.
That's what it says on the.
Yeah.
Well, one says replace DVR at 8 cameras, $499.99, and the other one says replacement DVR for security cameras.
Yeah, how much was that one?
That one's $249.99.
Yeah, that's just replacing the DVR and using our old cameras.
So these are two different alternatives,
yeah.
Not additional.
Right,
invoices.
I told them, you know, the cameras aren't top quality cameras, but they're working. And I told them, you know, with our budget the way it is, just give me the prices two different ways. That's the cost of the equipment.
$200 more you can have new cameras.
And he puts it in. It doesn't matter either way because his labor is already included in what we pay him.
Okay. Do we have $500 in the budget?
That's that's why I told him to give it to me both ways.
What do we have? $11,000 in annual building maintenance.
Right, and pray nothing happens.
There. Let's see.
And that was also adding the monitor in Shauna's office so that they can see what's coming in. But we would be keeping the camera, a monitor and the DVR in the locker office.
You have, not that I know this, but you have... money in tech, software, and IT support website.
That doesn't seem right. Look at that.
405.210.
What would that be?
There's it.
I understand why it's there. That's for the parking lot.
Yeah, I don't know what that is.
So then all you have left is this, which isn't going to cut it.
building? I'm not seeing it.
I think between these two, we could come up with 500 bucks easily.
Right here, I think, right?
Yeah.
What you're looking at?
Some from here and some from here. The website's not going to cost us 2,700.
No. Yeah, so there's 2,700 in the website.
Right, and there's 8,450 in tech software.
Tech and software. So I'll make a motion that we pay the that we authorize the $499.99 for the DVR and the 8 cameras from the 405.213 tech software IT support line item.
I will second that motion. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Okay. Next line item in the new business, Donna, who was our part-time secretary treasurer, has resigned, effective immediately. She's had a relapse, she's in the hospital. So, this time I'll make a motion, we accept Donna's resignation.
I'll second it.
And we're going to hold off advertising her vacancy for a little while. Any other?
All in favor?
All in favor, signify by saying aye.
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 So passed. Any other public participation?
So, what was the person's name, the last name?
Teagan.
Teagan. T-E-G-A-N, I believe it is.
Yes, that's it.
Yep.
Okay. One other quick question. This goes back to the workshop. The multimodal transportation fund application. Would that be for any specific project, or is that for just general improvement?
It was general discussion right now, because right. applications aren't due until the end of either June or July. But there's work that has to be done, paperwork that has to be compiled in order to file an application. So the roadmaster's going to take a look and see if there is a project that would make sense.
Okay.
And I'll make sure that you get a copy of the guidelines, both okay. of you, so that
yeah.
you can actually look at what the guidelines
yeah.
are. Yeah. We'll cover it.
And I'm sorry, you said the application is in June?
In the end of June or July.
Okay.
I'm not sure.
I can't remember if it's July 1st or July 31st. I think it's July 31st.
It's the end of July, right?
That should yeah.
make more sense. For it.
Okay.
Nothing else under public participation?
Thank you.
I'll make a motion to pay the bills and adjourn.
I'll second it.
All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
No.